From Spark and Anvil and Bioforge, this is Flicker, in Chapter 1 of the Bioforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
The mug went off the edge of the workbench, and Flicker's hand was already there. They stood blinking at it, a small, glowing firefly of a person, amber light pulsing along their antennae, the rescued mug cradled in fingers that had moved before any thought arrived. "Did you watch that?" they asked the empty lab. No one answered, so they asked the passing lab mouse, who had also not asked. "I caught it before I decided to catch it. My hand knew first. I found out second." They put the mug back and nudged it off again on purpose. Caught it. Nudged. Caught. Nudged. Caught. Every single time the same order. The doing came first, and the knowing trailed along a half step behind, panting to keep up. Flicker touched the back of their own hand, where a thin, warm line of light ran up toward the shoulder. "There's a message in this wiring," they said quietly, "and it goes mug falling grab, so fast I can't feel it leave. It beats me to my own hand, every time." They grinned at the mug, like it was an old rival. "You never stood a chance."
Flicker had not always liked the half-step. For a long time, they had hated it. When they were small, their body kept making decisions without them. A door slammed and they jumped, a hot pan drifted near their fingers and their arm snatched itself back, and Flicker would stand there feeling ridiculous, as if some faster, ruder version of themselves lived in their own limbs and refused to wait for the real one. It made them feel like a passenger, like the true Flicker was always the slow one, always late, always finding out what they'd done after they'd already done it. An old glowing elder found them one evening by a candle, doing something strange and angry, reaching a hand slowly toward the flame and yanking it back, over and over, glaring at their own arm. "You're furious at the fast part," the elder said. It wasn't a question. "It won't wait for me," Flicker burst out. "It just does things. It doesn't even ask." The elder held their own palm near the flame and let it flinch away. "That fast part," they said gently, "is the most loyal thing in you. It isn't ignoring you. It's guarding you. It moves before you can, on purpose, because a burn is quicker than a decision. Your body carved itself a shortcut. The warning hits your hand and turns straight back around without even climbing all the way up to your thinking. Not because you're slow. A smile. Because this is faster, and being fast is the entire job." Flicker went still, hand frozen halfway to the candle. The fast part wasn't stealing from them. It was on their side. So completely on their side that it wouldn't even hang around to be thanked. That was the night the flinch stopped feeling like a stranger in the house and started feeling like a friend who had never once left.
They walked into Bioforge at 12, still glowing, still tracking every branch and thread and spark in the place like a creature that couldn't switch its eyes off. The mentor who ran the labs met them at the door, an unhurried old thing with a voice like slow water. There was no test of strength, no clever riddle. Just one object waiting on the bench, a smooth gray model of a single nerve cell, one long trailing tail, and a hair-fine gap where it reached toward the next. "Tell me what this does," the mentor said. Flicker didn't reach for words. They touched one end of the long cell, and a ripple of amber light chased down its whole length, down the axon, the mentor would have called it, until it struck the little gap and hesitated. Then it leapt, a small chemical shimmer flinging itself across the space, catching the next cell, lighting it up in turn. "It carries a message," Flicker said, watching the light travel, all the way down the long wire. Then it hits the canyon, the synapse, and the signal can't jump on its own, so it throws a fistful of chemicals across the gap instead, and the chemicals wake up the next one. They made a leaping motion with two fingers. Electric, then chemical, then electric again. Ping, leap, ping, leap. Your whole body is millions of these, wired end to end. The mentor watched the ripple run and was quiet a good while. "You belong here," they said at last.
Flicker's corner of the workshop filled up fast, the way a wall of glowing wires tends to fill a room. One gray afternoon, a tall kid slouched in, arms folded, already unimpressed. "My teacher says I'm basically a computer," they announced. "Just wires and signals. That's the whole of me, apparently. It's kind of grim." Flicker didn't argue. They pressed a soft rubber mallet into the kid's hand and pointed at their own knee. "Tap. Just under the cap. Gently." The kid tapped. Flicker's leg kicked out on its own. "Did I choose that?" Flicker asked. "No." "Right. That message never even bothered my brain. It hit my spine, spun around, and shot straight back to my leg. A shortcut so fast, it skips the boss entirely." They wiggled their nose to prove they still could. "Some things you decide. A wave, a wiggle, a kick you mean. Your brain sends the order out along the branching wires to your fingers and toes, and they obey. That's the part you drive. But breathing, heartbeat, that flinch, that kick, your body just handles those. You don't get a vote. Thank goodness. You'd faint trying to remember to breathe." Then Flicker's voice dropped, and the zipping energy folded down into something careful. "So yes, signals, wires, electricity nearly as fast as light, running from your brain and spine out to every scrap of skin. That part really is like a machine, and it's a beautiful one." They held the kid's eyes. "But here is the thing I will never let anybody skip. You are not sad or glad because of wires. The wires carry it. They don't decide it. What you feel, what's happened to you, who's been kind, that's bigger than any signal that runs through you. Your body is the messenger. It was never the whole message." The kid stopped fidgeting with the mallet and just looked at them.
Later, when the lab had emptied and the light had gone to amber, the kid came back with one quieter question. "When it happens that fast," they said, "and you can't even feel the signal move, how do you know it's really in there? How do you know it didn't just skip you?" Flicker thought about the candle and the flinch and the elder's slow, warm voice. "You feel it after," they said. "That little jump, hand already pulled back, heart already pounding, breath already caught, before you've decided anything at all. That leftover startle sitting in your chest, that's the message that already came and went. You never catch it moving. You only ever catch it landing." They looked out at the glowing wall of threads, all of them faithful, all of them quick. "It's the fastest, most loyal thing in you, and it never once asks for thanks. It just keeps you safe and carries on." The kid nodded slowly, and Flicker watched the slouch lift off their shoulders, watched some old braced tightness let go, and felt in their own chest a warm and glowing ease rise up to meet it, the same quiet gladness they'd carried out of the candlelight years ago. The part of you that moves before you can is not a stranger. It's the oldest friend you have, and it's been catching your mugs your whole life.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Flickr. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.